Who or what is a Christian? More people than you think are a bit uncertain what Christian means. Even in America, we live in an increasingly secular culture. So more and more people have no Christian memory. Someone in their family who is a Christian. Someone in their friendship circle who is a Christian. Maybe they have never been to church, never heard a sermon, never intentionally read any part of the Bible. But when they hear the word Christian, they think they might know what it means.
Somewhere deep within, each of us desires an inner flow of peace and power that transforms our daily attitudes, relationships, and life decisions. Welcome to the Peace and Power Podcast, where we discover how the living Jesus offers the flow of that peace and power in our everyday experiences. With the Bible as our guide, here is Dr. Jim Coleman with today's Bible Talk.
Have you ever heard a word you really didn't quite know the meaning of, but thought maybe you could guess what it meant? What about the term psychohistorian? Well, both parts of that compound word sound familiar, psycho and historian. It probably has something to do with psychology and history. And come to find out, it does. A psychohistorian is someone who studies or interprets the psychological aspects of historical events or persons. For example, the psychohistory of the Nazi era. Or what about the word majoritarian? Well, I know what a majority is. Our democratic republic form of government in the United States recognizes that the majority's choices are supposed to rule. And if you look in the dictionary, it just so happens that a majoritarian is someone who supports that idea. What about the word Christian? Who or what is a Christian? More people than you think are a bit uncertain what Christian means. Even in America, we live in an increasingly secular culture. So more and more people have no Christian memory. Someone in their family who is a Christian. Someone in their friendship circle who is a Christian. Maybe they have never been to church, never heard a sermon, never intentionally read any part of the Bible. But when they hear the word Christian, they think they might know what it means. Maybe they've been told along the way that it has a negative meaning, that a Christian is a narrow-minded religious hypocrite. Recent polls in Europe show that large segments of the unchurched population believe that a Christian is a radically religious person with dangerous social and political ideas. More positively, someone might think Christian has something to do with Jesus Christ, with believing what he taught, and that, in fact, Jesus taught love. Paul the Apostle is writing to those in Colossae who have a brand new faith in Jesus, so new they don't know everything that will mean. They just know they believe that Jesus is the Messiah and Savior. After all, they are the first generation of Christ followers. They are only beginning to know what it is to be a Christian. But false teachers have come into the church and are painting a very different picture of what a Christian is. One group of false teachers say that to be a Christian, you must join a philosophy club, an elite group that has special knowledge and secret practices. Quite possibly, there was another group teaching that Gentiles, non-Jews, must convert over to Judaism before they really become followers of the Messiah, Jesus. What confusing definitions of Christian! And the Apostle Paul fears that the Colossian believers might become misled from what a Christian really is, and that a warped definition will undo their faith. So, what does Paul say a Christian is? Well, listen to these two verses in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. First, Paul says that a Christian is someone who has received Christ as Lord through the good news, the gospel, as it was taught to them by the apostles. The apostles were those who heard directly the teaching of Jesus and had a front row seat to his ministry. They had been personally transformed by Jesus and were selected personally by Jesus to spread his message. They knew the true gospel instead of the concocted gospel of the false teachers. A Christian is someone who believes that message, the apostolic gospel, carefully and faithfully handed down to them. Paul writes, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord," early part of verse 6. When someone personally, humbly accepts the apostles' message that Jesus' death and resurrection forgives his or her sins and revives them with new spiritual life, they have taken the first step, that step of faith in Jesus, and they are a Christian. But, Paul says, that is just the beginning of a relationship with Christ. Christianity is not just about believing something, but about a relationship with someone. Paul writes in verse 6, "You must continue to follow him." Faith is not just about following Jesus' ideas, but following Jesus. This is why Paul told the Corinthians that if Jesus was still dead and buried in the tomb, their faith was useless, because faith isn't just in Jesus' teaching. It is in the living Christ. Paul put it this way to the Corinthians, "And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead." That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 through 20. So, what is it like to follow the resurrected, living Jesus? Here in Colossians, Paul gives his readers some word pictures of what this relationship looks like, pictures of what a Christian really is. The first word picture is the roots of a plant. A Christian is someone rooted in a relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 begins, "Let your roots grow down into him." Now, a plant cannot grow unless its roots grow deeper into the soil. And every human relationship is this way. A healthy relationship is rooted in knowing and trusting. A Christian is someone whose roots are growing deep in a relationship with Jesus. And in that relationship, Jesus is not becoming more and more like us. We are becoming more and more like him. We are conformed to his image. On the inside, our thoughts and feelings and values and hopes become the same as his. In Acts 11:26, we read, "It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians." Christianos, literally, little Christs. We are conformed to his image when we become little Christs. One thing roots do is to ensure the stability of a plant. And when we are rooted in Jesus, he is our spiritual stability. How sad it is when a Christian places all of his or her hopes in another Christian, perhaps their pastor or some other spiritual leader. And if that spiritual leader gets off track or fails to be a faithful disciple, the believer who put their faith in that leader is disillusioned or devastated sometimes and loses her or his faith. A Christian is not someone rooted in another Christian or rooted in a Christian denomination, but rooted in Christ. It is a great blessing to be shaped by our various Christian traditions, and we can celebrate that. But in the end, we are not called to be little Catholics or little Protestants or little Baptists or little Methodists, but little Christs. That is why we practice spiritual disciplines, or what John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, called works of piety, things like reading scripture, prayer, public worship, sometimes fasting, holy communion, because these spiritual practices, these holy habits, keep our relationship with Jesus strong. Paul says, let your roots grow down into Him. Then there's the other word picture, the word picture of a building. Also in verse 7, Paul writes, and let your lives be built on Him. Paul uses the Greek word apoikodomeo, to build upon, which is an architectural term. When I drive through a large metropolitan city and I see those 30 and 40 and 50-story buildings, you know, a skyscraper is 40 floors or above, I'm amazed by what architects can design and construction workers can build. That's the way others should react to my faith, amazed that Jesus could build something like that of my faith. Jesus also taught with this word picture in Matthew chapter 7. He said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And Paul would say it's not just Jesus' teaching we build on, but of course it's this relationship with Him that we build on. And others can clearly see that transformation because they see our good works. We sometimes call these works of mercy, feeding the poor, advocating for justice, healing the sick, ministering to the grieving. These outwardly testify that my life is built on Jesus, just as the works of piety inwardly show that I am rooted in Jesus. Now, it's not that people are to be impressed with us as they see these things, but they are impressed with the architect. But then notice how verse 7 continues. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. So Paul adds an important aspect here to the picture of the plant and the picture of the building by saying that over time they will still be standing. By grow strong, he means steadfast. When you see an olive tree that is hundreds of years old, it is planted steadfastly. When you see the long-standing Empire State Building in New York City, it has stood the test of time. So far, we have seen a Christian is someone whose faith is founded upon the apostles' teaching. It is rooted in and built on Jesus. And it is ever maturing, standing the test of time. It is ongoing because it is on growing, but it is never outgrown. We grow in our understanding of the apostolic faith, but Christ and truth remain the same. They do not evolve. Beware of evolving theology, but embrace growing theology. Finally, notice what a Christian's attitude is. Paul says in the last part of verse 7, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Now, let me affirm what Paul is saying, even though it may be very convicting to those of us listening to these words. A Christian who does not have a genuine prevailing attitude of thankfulness and gratitude is not very mature in her or his faith. Now, I know that unsettles those of us who live in patterns of complaining about life and blaming others for our problems instead of patterns of joyful gratitude to God. But just think, in his description of what a Christian is, the basics of what a Christian is, the Apostle Paul includes that a Christian is a grateful person. If my faith in Jesus is not making me a more grateful person whose attitude is one of thankfulness, something is very wrong, because a mature faith is a grateful faith. There is one more thing to keep in mind about how Paul uses the word you in his definition of a Christian. Re-listen to his use in verses 6 and 7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. In one sense, of course, Paul does mean this describes an individual Christian. But every time he says you in this description, it is plural. The you is an us. We are not alone Christians. To be a Christian is to be in the church. We believe the apostles' teaching together. We are rooted, built up in Christ together. We are steadfast in the faith together. We are thankful and joyful together. Being a Christian is not a me, but a we. So, if there are more and more people in our neighborhoods and in our workplaces and in the sports stadiums and arenas, in our families, who do not quite know what the word Christian really means, you and I, the church, are on display. We are Christians. Now, you may be saying, God help us. Yes, God will help us. The gracious Holy Spirit does help us to be Christians. And now receive this peace and power principle. To be a Christian is to believe in Jesus and to become like Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Peace and Power Podcast, and we invite you to subscribe to hear the next upcoming Bible talk. Again, our website is peaceandpowerpodcast.com, and our prayer is that God's Word has brought you a greater sense of a supernatural flow of God's peace and power in your life.